Romans chapter 12, and our text for today will be verses 6, 7, and 8. Romans chapter 12, verses 6, 7, and 8. When you found that, would you stand with us, please, as I read these words from the Spirit of God for our hearts, for our hearing, and for our good. Romans 12, verses 6, 7, and 8. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. If prophecy, according to the proportion of his faith, if service in his serving, or he who teaches in his teaching, or he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who gives with liberality, he who leads with diligence, he who shows mercy with cheerfulness. Father, help us to gain clarity of understanding with what you're saying to the church. Father, we believe that you have called us to serve you. Father, we believe that you have equipped us to serve you. We believe, Lord, that you are looking for a worshiping people. For Jesus himself told us the Father seeks those who will worship him in spirit and truth. So enable us now to grow, not only in our understanding, but in grace, that we may serve and worship you with all our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Our subject for today is grace gifts for gracious works. Grace gifts for gracious works. You'll remember that we are learning more about biblical worship and Christian living. More about worshiping the Lord according to the Scriptures, and more about living the Christian life according to the Scriptures. Last week, we learned that the body of Christ, like our physical body, is designed by God to function effectively. You remember that? We learned that there are many members with different functions. We learned that no member is inferior and no member is superior. We learned that no member is independent of another member. And some members are essential to maintain life. Each member of the body of Christ, now listen to me, I really want to be clear with this statement. When I say this, I am not talking about everybody that's simply a member of the church. Because the Bible makes it clear that everybody that's a member of the church physically is not a member of the body of Christ. Amen. Only those who have been born again are members of the body of Christ. And the Bible would say to you and I, examine yourself and make sure that you are actually in the faith, in the body of Christ. But for every one of you that's in the body of Christ, you have spiritual gifts. And that's the point of Romans 12:6. For we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us. And that's the reason Paul would also say in 1 Corinthians 12:7, but to each one, who is he talking about? Each believer, each one that's born again, each one, regardless of your age, whether you were saved at 5 or 95, each one is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Today, we will, by God's grace, deepen and broaden our understanding of spiritual gifts. Now, there are many ways to approach this subject. And some of you who've known me over the years know I've approached this many ways at times. Today I want to take another run at it a little different than some of the ways I have in the past. Today, I want to approach this matter by looking at the word that translates spiritual gift. Most of you will be familiar with it. Charisma, right? You've heard that word. We get our word charisma. Charisma is the original word that we translate spiritual gifts. The word literally means that which is freely given, or that which is graciously given. It also simply means gift. So when you put those simple definitions together, you come up with this translation. Charisma is a grace gift, all right? Or a gift of grace. The word is used 17 times in the New Testament. Now, for those of you, I'm saying this hopefully for you to get an appreciation. There are some words that are only used 2 or 3 times in the New Testament. So if this word is used this many times, then it's for our benefit, for our good. And that's the reason I want to approach it that way. Let's see what we can learn from the number of times that the Spirit of God used this word. He had a reason. Would you agree with that? God the Spirit has a reason when He repeats things. And so let's just see if we can learn from those. You remember what I said? 17 times in the New Testament. And we're going to take a look at those, and believe, it won't take long in preacher's term. In preacher's time, it won't take long, right, Peter? So let's look at these. What we'll do is to trace this word through the New Testament to understand what the gifts are and how they are to be used. You ready? Let's go. The grace gifts are for what I'm going to call natural and supernatural living. Grace gifts are given for us to live practically every day and for us to know the wonder of God working supernaturally through us. Let's look at are you ready? First time we bump into the word, Romans 1:11. Romans chapter 1 and verse 11. Paul says, "For I long to see you so that I may impart some spiritual gift," that's the word, "some spiritual gift to you that you may be established." All right? That's one point, one place. The second place I want to read in your hearing is 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And you'll notice in the next few weeks that there's a lot of similarity between Romans and 1 Corinthians when it comes to gifts. 1 Corinthians 1, we're interested in verse 7, but to get to context, if you don't mind, I'll read 4 through 7. Paul says, "I thank my God always concerning you for the grace of God which was given in Christ Jesus, that in everything you were enriched in Him, in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony concerning Christ was confirmed in you." Now look at verse 7. "So that you are not lacking in any gift." There's our word. This church had been given all of the gift, the spiritual gifts from God, to enable them to be effective. So then what can we learn from these two verses? Here's the way I said it. Grace gifts are special abilities given to believers. Now, and this is important. Grace gifts are special abilities given to believers. Why? It grants and it gives us power to strengthen the church. Remember how Paul said it in 1 Corinthians 2? "I came to you in weakness, in fear, and trembling. But my preaching was not with persuasive words, but in demonstration of the Spirit and what? Power." Right. How can you explain a sinner being saved if it weren't for the power of God? How can you explain times when you're talking to somebody at work or in your neighborhood, and you're talking to them, and you look in their face, and you notice something is changing? You're telling them the same thing that you've told many people at many different times, but this time something different is happening. You're watching this person. They are listening to what you're saying. You're noticing that there's no argumentative expression on their face. You're noticing that all of a sudden their eyes begin to get wet. How do you explain that if it weren't for the power of God working with you and in you? Grace gifts are special abilities God gives, and He works power to help establish and strengthen the church. How many of you remember how immature you were when you were first saved, and how thankful you are for those who came alongside and helped you to understand the basics? How do you explain that except the power of God working through that individual? So that's the first thing we learn. By the way, we've already covered two of the instances. You see how fast we're going? The next time we bump into it is in Romans 5. You ready? Turn on over there, would you? Romans 5, verses 15 and 16. And I tell you, Brother Brad, I was kind of down in the dumps this morning. I was just struggling, and I heard God cause this brother to read it. It's good to have those speakers on. I said, thank you, Lord. Give me some confirmation that this is what you want us to hear. Romans 5, verses 15 and 16, we learn about the charisma further. But the free gift, there's our word, is not like the transgression. For if by the transgression of the many, by the transgression of the one, the many die, much more did the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abound to many. And verse 16, the gift is not like that which came through the one who sinned. For on the one hand, the judgment arose from one transgression, resulting in condemnation. But on the other hand, here's our word, the free gift arose from many transgressions resulting in justification. What's the next thing we can say about these grace gifts? They provide forgiveness and justification. My brother, my sister, you were saved by grace. You were forgiven because of grace gifts. It was a gracious gift of God to forgive you. Would you agree with that? For you to be legally declared righteous is simply a gracious act of God. Yeah. Keep going. The next place you find it, you got that one? The next place you find it is Romans 6:23. Most of you don't even need to turn to that. You know it, right? For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the free gift, there's the word of God, is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. The wages of sin versus what? The free gift. The free. You see how the scriptures make such graphic contrast between this grace gift. If God was to pay us what we are owed, if we were to get paid for what we've worked for, what would we have? Death. But God didn't pay us for what we worked for, right? He didn't pay us what we earned. Rather, He said, I'm going to give you a grace gift, eternal life through my Son. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Nothing in us warrants forgiveness and justification, eternal life and redemption. But God, out of His kindness, freely gives it because of Jesus Christ. That's all it is. There's not a true Christian in here that would say, I warranted salvation. I know that it's out of God's kindness that He freely gave it. All right? So, that's four of them. Let's keep going. The next one. You ready? Romans 11, verse 29. Now, again, if you'll let me, I want to read the context. It's verse 25 through 29, but the word is actually in verse 29. Romans 11, beginning at verse 25. For I do not want you, brethren, to be uninformed of this mystery, so that you will not be wise in your own estimation, that a partial hardening has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. And so all Israel will be saved, just as it is written, the deliverer will come from Zion, he will remove ungodliness from Jacob. This is my covenant with them when I take away their sins. Verse 28, from the standpoint of the gospel, they are enemies for your sake. But from the standpoint of God's choice or God's election, they are beloved for the sake of the fathers. And then here's our verse. For the gifts, there's our word, and the calling of God are irrevocable. And what I see there is that grace gifts reveal what I call the character of God in election. Well, what do you mean by that, Brother Willie? Just meditate on election for just a minute. What does it mean when God elects a sinner and say, I'm going to save them? And I had purposed to save them before they were ever born. What does it mean? It means that God will and always will fulfill his plans and purposes. God's plans and purposes will never fail. That's what election brings to us. That's the reason you can rest, my brother, my sister. I know all of us have some stubborn people that you've been trying to share the gospel with for years. What's the hope that you have? God will never fail. If it's his plan that they be saved, they will be saved. We also, I can say this, as I thought about this verse, I want to say this to you personally. God never makes mistakes, neither with the people he saves, or with the gifts that he gives. I don't know what kind of wrestling you've been going through, my brother, my sister, but God didn't make a mistake in the family in which you were born into. God didn't make a mistake at the time he saved you. I myself struggle when I think about 28 years of my life that was destructive. But I have to rest in the fact that God made no mistake in his timing. For calling me to himself. And I say to you, if you're struggling with that, let it go. God has made no mistake in where, when, how he saved you. He's made no mistake in the situation that he saved you in. You remember how he said it in 1 Corinthians 7? Remain in the situation in which you were saved. God knew your situation when he saved you. And he's given you grace to hang in there. You actually now are prepared to handle your bad situation. You don't have to do like you used to do. You don't have to go get high. You don't have to cuss somebody out. You don't have to do that anymore. You now have grace. And grace says, we can get through this. Grace says, there's another way. Grace says, let's not trust in your ability now. Lean on me. You say, you're tired, Willie? Lean on me. You're tired, Willie? Trust me. You're tired of all of... You've tried to show this point this way, and you've tried to be persuasive this way, and now grace says, trust me. I got his heart in my hand. Or I got her heart in my hand. Is that Romans? I mean, that's what Proverbs 21 says. The heart of the king is like rivers, like channels of water in the Lord's hand. He turns it.
God's gracious character in election. You are no mistake, my brother, my sister. Let's move on. Now, the next one, I've got several of them here together. I want to give them to you, and then I just want to read them real quick. Romans 12:6 is the first one. We've already read this one. Since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, each of us is to exercise them accordingly. The next one is 1 Corinthians 12:4. Now you listen to see if you are seeing any pattern here. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:9. To one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, and to another the word of knowledge. Verse 9. To another faith by the same Spirit, and to another, that's it right there, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Look at verse 28. Our word is there. God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then there it is again, gifts of healing, helps, administration, various kinds of tongues. The next place is verse 30. All do not have the gifts, that's our word, of healing, do they? All do not speak with tongues, do they? All do not interpret, do they? And then verse 31. But earnestly desire the greater gifts, and I show you a still more excellent way. And I won't turn to the last one. The last place is 1 Peter 4:10, okay? And there it talks about the gift and speaking and serving. 1 Peter 4:10. Now, what can we say then? What do we learn from these verses? This is the way I worded it. Grace gifts give us special abilities to serve the church and worship the Lord. Every one of these places, and I haven't even gotten to the large list yet. We're just looking at the word. We're looking at verses where the word itself is used. Grace gifts are special abilities to serve the church and to worship the Lord. We only got four more. We're almost there. You ready for the next one? 1 Corinthians 7:7. You may find this one a bit strange, but I want to show you how broad and how wise God is in helping us to meet the situations of life. You got 1 Corinthians 7:7? By the way, this is a context about marriage and singleness. Paul is giving instructions about how the Christian is to live in a marriage situation or in a single situation. And he speaks of several single situations, right? You can be single and never have been married. You can be single by divorce. Or you can be single by death as a widow or a widower. All right? And he addresses all of these situations. Here's what he says. Verse 7. Yet I wish that all men were even as I am. He's single. However, each man has his own gift from God. There's our word. One in this matter and another in that. What's your point, Brother Willie? Grace gifts also give you, my brother, my sister, the ability to live married or single with joy and fulfillment. God gives grace gifts. Everybody doesn't have the gift to stay single. So this chapter says you need to get married. If you can't stay single without burning in your lust, lusting after the opposite sex, fulfilling your lust with ungodly ways, God says get married. You don't have the gift of singleness. But if you do have the gift of singleness, you don't have to apologize for it. If your family thinks you ought to be married and God says no, you obey God and help them understand. Yes. that I'm living by the conviction. Did you know that this chapter actually says that's better? There are less distractions in your life. I'm not calling marriage a distraction, but the Bible does. Right? Anybody read 1 Corinthians 7? Now, that doesn't mean it's bad. It just means that once you get married, you can't do everything. You don't have all that free time. You got somebody else to take it. So, grace gifts. God gives grace to bring joy and fulfillment in every situation. And if you've been struggling with the fact that your marriage is not working out the way you thought, the Bible says that God will give you, how does he say it? My grace is sufficient, what? For you. Regardless of how bad your marriage is, right? Or if you're single and you've been struggling with what to do. If God has given you the gift of singleness, just live. My brother, my sister, just thank God. You remember how Paul did in 2 Corinthians 12, I believe it was, and he got tired of wrestling with the thorn in the flesh? He says, well, Lord, since you're not going to change it. Yeah, do you ever find yourself, you reach a point to where you realize, I don't think God's going to change this situation. So I think I need to be praying about something else. And God let you know, right? You ever had? Has anybody ever experienced that? I think it's time to let this go. And then what God says, my grace is sufficient for you, even though I'm not going to change it. Married or single, you got enough grace. I'm not saying, you see, the grace isn't designed for you just to be able to kind of make it. Grace isn't designed for you just to squeak through. Grace is designed for you to have joy. God wants you to have joy in the way he's made you. You've been fearfully and wonderfully made when you came from your mother's womb. You also have been fearfully and wonderfully made when you came from the Father's hand. So if you can rejoice about being fearfully and wonderfully made from your mother, you certainly ought to be able to rejoice about being fearfully and wonderfully made from your father. Special ability to live married or single with joy and fulfillment. You ready? 2 Corinthians chapter 1, the next place we meet this word. 2 Corinthians 1, it's actually in verse 11, but I want to read the context. I'll read 8 through 11. For we do not want you to be unaware, brethren, of our affliction which came to us in Asia, that we were burdened excessively beyond our strength, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, we had the sentence of death within ourselves, so that we would not trust in ourselves, but in God who raises the dead, who delivered us from so great a peril of death, and we will and will deliver us. He on whom we have set our hope, and he will yet deliver us. Here's our verse. You also joining and helping us through your prayers, so that thanks may be given by many persons on behalf for the favor. I don't know what your translation says, but if it says favor, that's the word. Because charisma is favor from God. Grace, favor, it's all the same thing. So thanks may be given by many persons on our behalf for the favor bestowed on us through the prayers of many. What's your point, Brother Willie? Grace gifts provide special favor in delivering the saint from danger. You know better than crediting getting out of that wreck by luck. That was no luck. You didn't come through that situation at work by luck. You didn't come through that scholastic situation where you weren't as prepared as you should have been for the test. God didn't bring you through that for you to say, oh,
man, I lucky. No.
God brings us through danger. And that's the way the songwriter said it in Amazing Grace, through many dangers, what? Toils and snares. Yeah. Who is he giving credit to? God. Grace provides special favor in deliverance from danger. And in the last two places we meet this word, I'll give them to you together. You ready? It's over in 1 Timothy. One is in 1 Timothy and the other in 2 Timothy. So if you can head back in that direction in your Bible. 1 Timothy 4:14. Do not neglect the spiritual gift within you, which was bestowed on you through prophetic utterance with the laying on of hands by the presbytery. And then 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 6. For this reason I remind you to rekindle afresh the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. Grace gifts provide special abilities for people in the church to hold office. And in this case, for men to hold the office of pastor and deacon. Grace gifts then are special abilities and favor from God for the Christian to have joy and effectiveness in life. Now, I'm going to try to bring this together. God wants us to not only be effective in life and ministry, but he wants us to have joy when we do it. He doesn't want you moping around and miserable when you're serving him. When you're coming to worship him, he wants you to have joy. Use your gift with joy. And so he says, I'm giving this to you so that you can have joy when you're serving. When you're doing things that nobody else wants to do, have joy because you know I saved you for that. You know that you're effective because I'm working in you. I'm working through you. That's the reason that it's working. So when the usher is effective back there doing their job, they don't give the credit to their smile. They don't give the credit to their ability to greet. They give credit to God. Because he gave them the gift. We need these gifts in the church. Would you agree with that? I'm saying to you, we also need these gifts in our home. We need these gifts in our neighborhoods. So, you see, my brother and my sister, you don't turn your gift off when you walk outside your door and you greet your neighbor. When folks out there are cussing and carrying on, you don't turn your gift off and grace off. You are the light. Amen. And we're not just talking about functioning right here where it's nice and safe. Grace gifts function wherever they go. We need these gifts in our neighborhoods. We need these gifts in the place in our places of employment. We need these gifts in the schools. We need these gifts. My brother, my sister, what I'm saying to you is you need these gifts every day. You need these gifts in every way. You need these gifts everywhere. You and I need these gifts to live life, to love life. The body of Christ is designed to function effectively. I'm going to make a statement. I wonder how many of you will agree with me. God has designed us and prepared us to get the kingdom job done. Do you believe that? Do you believe that we need to look outside to get the kingdom job done? When looking inside, we're not doing our job. Now, if you agree with me that God has designed us to get the job done, The question is, are you on your job? You see, if you're in the body of Christ, everybody's got a job. Then we spend a couple of weeks looking at that, right? There are no unnecessary body members. None are inferior and none are superior. And the ones that you think are weak are actually the ones that are needful. Is that what we learn? The New Testament gives us several lists of special gifts. And I just been wanting to do this. I don't know that I've ever done this. But I feel so privileged to be able to read the list of special gifts from a special God to a special people. Do you get that feeling from the Word of God? A special God gave a special people special gifts. So when I read them, don't get all tangled up about, man, I wonder what that means. We'll get to that. At this point, I just want you to sit back and just thank God. Lord, I thank you for that gift. I thank you for that gift too. Now, no one person in here has them all. That's the reason he gives so many people in the body. You see, the little finger can't do what the thumb does. Everybody knows that, right? If you don't know it, injure one of them. And it's the same in the body of Christ. We need each other. And so I'm just going to read the list